Hey, welcome. Welcome. It's Friday night. Ain't that a fine how do you do? It's the Mike Molloy Show right here on Nova M Radio. Lots and lots of fun stuff to talk about this evening. You can join the conversation at 1-800-989-1480. Most of the night, lots of things happen, of course. Let's see. The big news, of course, is the House passed the resolution 246 to 182. Against Bush's surge in Iraq. It's the first step. I know it's non-binding. I know. Calm down. It's non-binding. But it's a first step. So I got some fun audio to play for you tonight. Lots of really funny Daily Show clips. Some interesting stuff from Bush. Apparently, Tim Hardaway of the NBA hates gay people. I got that clip for you. I got some of Nancy Pelosi's speech on the floor today. At 7:30, we're going to be speaking with, 7:30 my time, at the bottom of this hour, shall we say, we're going to be speaking with Deborah Coons Garcia. She's a filmmaker, maker of the film The Future of Food. Actually, she's got a website about that, www.thefutureoffood.com. She'll be with us for a half hour. Looking forward to that segment, talking all about the sort of trend, sort of corporatization of our food supply. Very troubling scenario. Before we get too far into stuff, though, I want to play you. I want to play an audio clip. This is a fellow. Last week, when I was here last Friday night on the Molloy Show, I played a clip from a Anthony Weiner from New York. That was a fascinating clip of him using the term "Republic Party" and kind of going after the Republicans, and it was kind of an interesting clip. And I thought, you know what, more like that, please. So, in keeping with my "more like that, please," theme. This is Representative Tim Ryan from Ohio. It's about 5 minutes, but believe me, it's well worth it. So check this out.
Lady from California, as we approach the final day of the debate on this resolution, I have enjoyed the debate thoroughly. I have found it humorous at times. Our friends on the other side have tried every argument they could possibly muster. They've talked about President Clinton. They've talked about Vietnam. They're trying to bring up Israel. And my friend from Indiana also mentioned the issue of consistency. And I find it funny that the pro-life, self-proclaimed pro-life party is the party that wants to keep extending the war. I find it ironic that all of the great budget hawks in the Republican Party want to throw $8 billion a month to keep going and going and going as we borrow the money from China. But I've also found the debate at times disappointing, where members of the other side have questioned our side. And they've said, you know, whose side are we on? And how can we say that we support the troops and that we're somehow unpatriotic? And I would just like to say that, you know, when the Republican Party and this president didn't send enough troops, we didn't call you unpatriotic. And when you sent our young soldiers over there without the body armor, we never called you unpatriotic. I will not yield. Gentlemen, house is not in order.
No one that is so called
house is not in order.
I will call this house to order. I will remind the mem. I will re- the chair.
You can't make it up, Mr. Speaker. You can't make
the house
it up
is not in order,
floor.
Mr. Speaker.
Members will suspend. The gentleman from Ohio has the time. The chair will remind the members that it's proper to address the chair when speaking in debate. The gentleman from Ohio has the time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We never called the other side unpatriotic when they sent our soldiers over without enough body armor. And when they didn't send enough up-armored Humvees, we never called anybody unpatriotic. And now when the next batch goes over without the proper jammers or up-armored kits, We don't call you unpatriotic. Now, we've called you incompetent. We said you're incapable. And we've said you're derelict of your oversight responsibility. But never, Mr. Speaker, have we called anyone in this House unpatriotic. Now, let
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, the House is not in order.
The gentleman from Ohio yield for the parliamentary inquiry.
I don't yield.
The gentleman may continue.
Now, let me speak to the resolution. This is very simple. It says two things. We support our troops, and we do not support the escalation. It's very simple, and here's why. We have already done this, Mr. Speaker. We've already done this. We've already tried the escalation, and it has not worked. From November to January of 2005, we escalated by 18,000 troops, boots on the ground, and the number of daily attacks increased by 17%. From June to October of 2005, we increased by 21,000 boots on the ground, and the number of daily attacks increased by 29%. And from May to November of 2006, 17,000 more boots on the ground, and the number of daily attacks increased by 80%. This escalation has not worked, and it will not work. The number of insurgents have increased from 5,000 in 2003 to between 20,000 and 30,000 to October of 2006. So this is very simple. And I want to make just a few more points, Mr. Speaker. One is this. With the last vote for the war, regardless of what party you're in or how you voted, we assumed that the President and the Secretary of Defense would send our troops over there with the proper equipment. But with this escalation, Mr. Speaker, we know that the 21,500 troops that are going to go over there will not have the proper Humvee kits, the up armor for their Humvees, they won't have the proper jamming devices or enough of them, and they won't have the number of trucks that they need. Period. Dot. You now know it. So if you vote against this resolution, you're voting to send our troops over there without the proper equipment. Before it could be excused, because we trusted the President assumed, but now we know. And finally, Mr. Speaker, we've heard a lot over the last couple days about the American Revolution and the Civil War and World War II. Well, Mr. Speaker, our president today is not Washington, he is not Lincoln, and he's not Roosevelt. And so I think our Republican colleagues should take the advice of the Secretary of Defense, and that's you go to war with the president you have. You don't go to war with the president you wish you had. I yield back to balance my time.
You go to war with the president you have, not the one you wish you had. More like this, please. Please, more like Tim Ryan from Ohio. Thank you. Oh, that just that was from yesterday's from the floor of the House. I had that one sitting in my pocket this morning and didn't have time to get to it. But my gosh, again, more like him. I'm gonna try to get a quick phone call in here. I got Sarge on the line. Sarge, welcome aboard.
Yeah, you know Tim Ryan's nice, but I'm gonna tell you what. There's another Ryan that I like even better, and his name is Sean Ryan.
Oh,
he
yep.
is man, I'm gonna steal him from y'all. He's got to come down here and stay. He is a wonderful. Little old Jordan, the little girl that tried to commit suicide, and all the Malloy listeners probably remember her story. She fell in love with Sean.
Oh, that's great.
And we were at the motel last night, and she was mad because she wanted Sean. And she wouldn't have anything to do with anybody else hardly until she talked to Sean. So he just thrilled her to death. The people in the area that we went out and visited with and talked to, it wasn't long before they were saying, "That's a good man."
Yeah.
So he won a lot of friends. In fact, there's people in the area that's now telling me, "Yeah, we want a Novem station here. By George, we sure do."
Oh, that's great.
So, yes, we are working on getting a Novem station into Pascagoula, and there's one station that we're talking with, and guess what? Right around their area is a little place called the Trent Lott School. How good is that?
That'd be great to be blasting right by the Trent Lott School.
Isn't that
right?
Beautiful? But listen, I want to tell the people in Phoenix that I saw the stuff you've sent. Associated Appliance Sales. Look, those people, the stuff they sent was just so unbelievably nice and so just generous, and God, I love those people. I can't say enough good things about it. The whole truckload was just overwhelming. Two men in a truck, two guys in a truck, the job they did packing that thing, gee, I'd heard they were good, but these people are beyond good.
We were amazed because we had three trucks ready to go, and they managed to fit it all into two. We couldn't believe it. You know, we sat there and we did the math and figured, all right, here's how much space we're going to need. And boy, they were something else. And the whole day around here last Saturday was amazing.
Let me tell you
amazing.
A story of one of the good things that happened, too. And I'm going to steal Sean's story here because I'm sure he wouldn't tell it, but I will. We were out yesterday taking videos and going around and looking at some of the worst hit areas Jim Yancey was showing us. And there was a boat that was upside down and in a tree or something like that. You'll see it on the video when it comes around. And the people came out. Well, Sean and Joe were out there filming, and these people came out. And before long, Sean had them tied up in conversation, so Jim and I got out and walked over there. And it worked out that these people have been stranded on the boat for away from home in an area where for weeks on end they were where there was dead bodies floating all around them. There was dead fish, dead everything around them. And they had lost everything when they got home. Where they had started rebuilding their house, they had lost. They had gotten to the point where they didn't have the materials, and their kitchen wasn't complete. And the people in Phoenix, hey, tomorrow morning they're going to have a new kitchen thanks to you guys.
All right, hey, thanks a lot, Sarge. Good talking to you, buddy. I got Sean on the other line, so we're going to have
deal.
Him on the other side of the break, buddy.
Good deal. Thank
hey,
you.
We'll talk
bye
to you
bye.
Soon. Hey, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network, 1-800-989-1480. When I get back, we'll take a few phone calls in the next segment. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Deborah Coons Garcia. We're going to be talking about genetically engineered food and what's going on with your food supply. The last 2 hours of the show is just all caller-driven. Just going to open up the phone line, see what you all want to talk about. I got some sound clips to share. I got some stories I found on the World Wide Web we'll talk all about. It should be a fun night. It's up to you.
Messenger of fury, he's got a job to do, to act as judge and jury, executioner too. And heaven will justify the things I've done, but I am just an instrument of the Holy One. God help us, God help us, a man on a mission.
We are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. I'm going to get right to the phones. I got a little bit of time here. See how many phone calls I can get through before the bottom of the hour. It's Sean Ryan up first, our very own man on a mission. Sean, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jeff. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. So you got quite a few stories to tell.
And don't know where to start, Jeff. I saw so much devastation and so much pain and suffering in this last week. It is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I caught the end of Sarge's call.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's a trooper there.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's
you can just hear it in his voice. You guys made a big difference in his whole view of the world.
Yep, sure did. Yeah. And, I mean, Jeff, the things I saw down there, you just can't even, I mean, even the photos and the video that I bring back won't do it justice. You actually have to go down there and stand there and look at debris still in trees.
Wow.
We're talking big pieces of debris. I saw a headboard up in a tree.
Holy cow.
And then the ride into the airport this morning, we had a fly out of New Orleans this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, driving into Louisiana and on the out, and driving into New Orleans, all these businesses and apartment complexes along Interstate 10, absolutely in ruins. I mean, ruins. You think you were looking at an ancient civilization almost.
Wow.
Anybody who says that the job is getting done down there, they should be lucky they're not suffering from the Pinocchio syndrome. Because they are lying straight to the camera or whoever they're talking to. There is no recovery going on down there. There's nothing going on down there except infighting between different groups, and they can't figure out how to track funds, so they just don't hand them out.
Wow.
The people living in the FEMA trailers, there's a slang name for them now. They're called egg sites. Because when you drive up on them, it looks like just a bunch of eggs out in the field.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And, of course, the big new State Farm insurance pulling out of the area.
Yeah, that was
no
the story
longer
that just broke yesterday.
No policies down there.
Yeah, they won't write policies in Mississippi anyway. I guess their attorney general is apparently going after that, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't waste your
money. And I'll tell you, when we were driving around yesterday after the news broke out, we did happen to drive by a couple State Farm offices.
Mm-hmm.
There were no cars parked in front of them offices.
Wow.
You know, those people didn't even come to work there because basically, you know, all those State Farm agents down there, they're out of work.
Right.
Now they're going to be looking to go to work for somebody else. But I do have to give a nice pat on the back to the Geico Insurance Company.
Oh.
There was a gal we talked to down there. She moved into one of the egg sites, and her insurance went up by $60 a month.
Wow.
She called Geico in tears, explained that she's not living there by choice.
Hey, buddy, I got to go. I got a hard break, as you know. Hey, let's talk a lot more about this. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network, coming to you live from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number over here. We're joined in this next half hour by a very special guest coming to us from Marin County, California. We have Deborah Coons Garcia, a filmmaker and the maker of the film The Future of Food. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Good to speak with you tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to talk about your film, The Future of Food. You've done this documentary basically about genetic engineering in our food supply, something that most Americans probably aren't aware of, the steps it have taken. Now, your film opens sort of back in the early 1900s, and apparently nitrogen fertilizers were first developed after World War I, and I guess that was the first sort of foray into chemically-induced food supplies?
That's right, on a large scale. That's mm-hmm. right. That's what they turned the what they'd made for the war effort into to help agriculture. And then after World War II, they did the same with insecticides. Nerve killers were turned into insecticides.
Amazing. That's it. Oh, wow. And
well, it just kept the factories going. You know, part of it was to keep everything going instead of letting that stuff just fall idle.
Keep people working. Right now, I guess a lot of the film sort of gets inside also some personal stories. You talk about a farmer up in Saskatchewan who sort of had some problems with Monsanto. You want to talk about that a little bit?
That's right, Percy Schmeiser, and mm-hmm. he's a canola farmer who was growing his canola, and it turned out that someone near him or who passed by the road had been growing canola, and those seeds blew into his land and grew there and mixed with his crop. And so because genetically engineered crops are patented, he was sued by Monsanto for using their patented material without a license.
Wow.
Even though he didn't want it there.
Right. And he never chose to use it. It was sort of just blew into his crop. Wow.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's right. And there've been lots of farmers who have been, they get a letter first from Monsanto telling them that they're growing patented material without a license to either pay up or they'll sue them. Mm-hmm. And of course most farmers pay up because they don't want to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a lawsuit against Monsanto. Besides, that's the way the law is working now. It's not that they're trespassing on your property with their patented seed that you don't want on there. It's that somehow you're using it without their consent. So it doesn't make sense to a normal person, but it makes a lot of sense to patent-holding corporations, of course.
Right. Well, and of course, as we've learned, particularly in the last few years, we've seen a certain rise of power of these corporations. And you also mentioned in the film that, you know, a lot of the people who are supposed to regulate this stuff, like the FDA or the Department of Agriculture and Environmental Protection, they're all being staffed by people from the industry, basically, by Monsanto people and the like.
That's right. The people that are at the top of these agencies are political appointees, and so mm-hmm. they come in. And they go, it's really been proven, and we kind of know this. We're all very cynical now, but they, you know, work for Monsanto or one of these corporations and then go into the government and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And the problem is that one of the conflicts is that the scientists and people who are actually working in those departments are good science. They are good scientists, mm-hmm. and they are, you know, they do want to do a good job, but they have to really follow orders. And there's actually been some. There's actually a lawsuit in play now because because some of the people feel like their advice has not been listened to because of this political agenda.
Right. Well, we find, you know, we hear lots of instances of that, you know, with relation to global warming, that entire branches of scientific people doing research. And once it reaches up to the sort of the top of the company or the top of the agency where the appointees from the Bush administration work, you know, their work gets changed before it's released to the public. So
that's
a template that we're seeing popping up in all aspects of our government. Now, do they run actual tests of what the health effects are of these chemicals or of this
As far as the genetically engineered food goes, mm-hmm. it was declared substantially equivalent to normal food, and therefore falls under this category where it doesn't have to be tested or labeled. So it hasn't been properly tested, and what the corporations do is they do tests, they summarize the results, and they turn them into the government, and the government basically says, you know, you've given us some results. There's been no thorough testing for health, and the corporations insist that there's been testing, but when you really follow it, you realize that it really hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And when they say these have been tested, I think what they mean, or what they can claim to mean, is that they've been tested to do what they say they're going to do, which is in terms of Roundup Ready crops. You can spray them with Roundup, which is a weed killer, and they don't die. Well, that's true, mm-hmm. but what else has it been tested for? And there's been a court case that just was that just came up a few days ago, and the decision was made that genetically engineered alfalfa, which was brought out this past year, was not given proper testing. And so it's the first time that the courts have really said, you know, this has not been properly tested. You haven't gone into the environmental consequences of putting alfalfa out there that could cross with a neighbor's alfalfa, and what would the consequences be on that neighbor's crop when they don't want it? And so it's going to be interesting now. This just happened 2 days ago, and so it's kind of an exciting development that the courts are now beginning to hold these agencies accountable because mm-hmm. the agencies are so controlled by corporations now that they haven't been really accountable to do what they're supposed to do.
Right. Well, and I guess, you know, the ability to do those tests is going to be sharply diminished. A story just came out today, actually, over the wire. The FDA is planning on closing almost half of its labs. That do these kind of tests. Six of the 13 labs that the FDA runs in this country are being, including Detroit, Denver, Philly, Kansas City, the one in San Francisco, the one in Massachusetts, and also the one in San Juan, Puerto Rico, closing
down. That's incredible.
Down.
It's just the exact opposite of what should
need.
Be happening,
right.
Because the FDA oversees so many things, both food and drugs. They barely get to the food. They're so busy with the drugs. And, of course, the big complaint about them was they look at the drugs before they're approved, and then after they're approved, they weren't following at all what happened. That's just outrageous.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable.
It is. It is just stunning. And again, you know, it's something that most people aren't aware that this is happening. You go to the grocery store and the food is still packaged just the way it used to be. And you don't realize that it's now genetically engineered on some level or another. I guess there's some attention coming out. You know, I mean, we're seeing just this week there was a salmonella outbreak in some sort in one peanut butter company. We've seen the problems problems with the spinach earlier last year. Problems with lettuce. Taco Bell's were poisoning people. It just seems like we need more regulation on this sort of stuff and not less. But it seems like we're getting just the opposite from the government.
Right. We need more, and we need more that people are really doing. It can't just be voluntary. It has to be government mm-hmm. setting standards and following through.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge problem, and I think the only positive thing about this is that people are more and more aware that the government is not doing the job we expect it to, and hopefully we'll have some citizen action on that.
Right. Now, one of the things you talked about was sort of, and it's something that the founding fathers addressed. You talked about the whole idea of patenting a life form, patenting a plant, and it seems to be somewhat the cornerstone in which these corporations sort of build their whole business. The fact that they can kind of patent a certain form of corn or something like that, and then go out after these farmers who accidentally have it blown into their crop.
Right. This is a new development that's been going on for about 20 years. It started. There was a Supreme Court case that allowed the patenting of life. It was a genetically engineered organism, was something that was going to eat oil. And because of that decision, now they've been able to patent all kinds of things, including genes and
wow.
DNA and human DNA and the DNA that is one of the causes of breast cancer. So people can't use that gene in research unless they pay a patent fee. And that they patent plants and patent, so they patent a plant. So if that pollen from that plant goes into your yard and crosses with your crop is actually owned by the corporation that owns the patent on that DNA that's in that pollen. And it makes no sense. And the problem is it's always patented. So it goes down into subsequent generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that makes no sense, and it's a huge issue now whether we should be allowed to patent life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's now a book out now. This Michael Crichton's new thriller is called Next, and that's one of the main issues in it is about patenting life, which is kind of interesting because he even has this whole activism thing at the very end of the book. Because I don't think people realize that human DNA is patented and that they can actually take your DNA out of your body and make a drug with it that they make billions of dollars out of, and you don't get a dime out of it.
Well,
you can't control it.
They're actually on the verge of passing a law here in Arizona where anytime you are arrested for any reason, you know, if you're picked up, they're allowed to swipe your DNA once they have you in custody, which is sort of
which is weird because what are they going to do with all
right.
that DNA?
Yeah, exactly. How are they going? Yeah, they're going. Yeah, exactly. How are they going to maintain it? Now, another thing you mentioned, you know, patenting the seeds or the plants. This is just they can sort of turn around and use this tool as a way to drive small farmers off their land. Essentially.
Right, and they do that because of this trespass, you know,
right,
because
right.
these farmers get their fields contaminated, and it's a way for these corporations to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing which is sort of involved in this same issue is that these corporations have been buying up the seed supply.
Wow.
I mean, they've really, you know, most of the seed supply of the planet, certainly in the developed world, is owned by these giant corporations, not by small seed developers.
Right.
And that also is another way to control the seed supply, not only are the DNA patented, but the seeds are totally controlled by these corporations. They don't have to let out a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to let this out. They can let out one that's patented and genetically engineered instead of one that's been around for generations and so is you know, not allowed to be patented because it's already been in general use.
Unbelievable. Hey, Deborah, we have to take a short break. We're right back, and if you don't mind, let's take a couple phone calls. Some people are lining up with some questions for you.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back with Deborah Coons Garcia, the maker of the film The Future of Food. You can find more at www.thefutureoffood.com. We'll be right back after these messages on The Mike Malloy Show.
It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves. when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
We are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. It's not easy being green. It's getting harder and harder every day. As the FDA and the Department of Agriculture are in cahoots with the Monsanto Corporation, and they're genetically engineering your food. We're here with Deborah Coons Garcia. She has a film called The Future of Food. You can find more about it at www.thefutureoffood.com. Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a couple of people waiting. I want to ask you some questions, so I'm going to get right to the callers, if you don't mind.
Okay.
First up is Bill here in Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, buddy.
Got to talk to you. Guest. I keep a garden to keep my heart and my mind healthy. My question is about the viability of the seeds that generate from the plants that I grow and the seeds from the plants or from the foods that I buy in the store. It seems to me, I want to know if anything's been done with regard to the germination rate of those seeds.
Well, as far as genetically engineered seeds go, the main seeds, the crops are corn, cotton, soy, and canola.
Just those.
And yeah, the corn, cotton, soy, and canola, and some Hawaiian papaya and some other things. So I would say if you're growing corn, you would want to make sure that your neighbors weren't growing genetically engineered corn right across the fence line, because their genetically engineered corn could contaminate your corn.
Okay.
And there's some great organizations that deal with organic seed, like the Organic Seed Alliance. They're wonderful. And there's a lot of seed savers and seed traders now, people who want to really protect these heritage breeds. So it's kind of an exciting thing to do, to be part of that.
It just seems to me that, you know, I have a compost heap, and it seems to me, I've always kept a compost heap, and it seems to me that the seeds that get to my compost heap don't germinate like they used to. Something's been done. I've always suspected that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I know that they treat seeds, you know, but if you get organic seeds, you know, or that might help. I don't know. You know, I don't know anything I'm not sure why they wouldn't be germinating as much as they used to be germinating.
But generally, the seeds that you're talking about, the foods that you're talking about are the ones that you mentioned, the tomatoes and things that I might grow in my garden. My question is, some are hybrids.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing of hybrids, you know, because
that's genetic engineering, right?
Well, it's not. It is a form of genetic manipulation, but it's not what is meant when people say genetic engineering, which is a specific technique using recombinant DNA technology.
They don't have Roundup built in them.
Well, yeah, you take DNA from one species and put it into another using a bunch of pieces of bacteria and virus to do so to make this genetic cassette, which you put into it.
It tastes like a peach.
Yeah, so that's different than a hybrid. A hybrid is also a genetic. It also is a manipulation. But you're not going in. You're not bringing another species entirely in. You're crossing a tomato with another tomato. You're not putting fish genes in a tomato.
Right.
But I think that it's true, this whole issue of hybrids. And again, some of these great seed organizations like Organic Seed Alliance, I mean, they're really into these heritage seeds that aren't hybrid, which allow people more control and more power because they can replant their seeds, whereas hybrids, you have to go, you know, buy them every year or find them new every year.
Well, I'll thank you for your good work, and I'll just leave, and I'll just encourage everybody to grow a garden this year.
That's a great idea.
Thanks, Bill.
Take good care, y'all.
All right, buddy. Let's go to Tim in San Diego. Tim, welcome to the program. Tim, you there? Come on, Tim. I know you're on there. Hang on. I know you said you got a question for Deborah. There's a time delay, so maybe he's on the stream. Tim, you there? No, I guess not. You know what? I have a question for you, actually, Deborah. One of the things you talk about in the film is the process has also been sort of corrupted at the university level. Most people think of universities are there and that they do actually objective science and objective research. You're saying that dynamic is changing as well.
You know, that is really changing a lot, and that's something that people don't realize, because most of the funding that universities get is through corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was a law passed, you know, several years ago that allowed university professors and universities to profit from their work. They've gone into business basically with these corporations to do the research. So a lot of the money, a lot of the money is public money, you know, for setting up the labs and the structure. But then the corporations come in with some money, and they get the profits from it. They get to patent whatever it is that particular lab comes up with. And it has really changed the whole landscape of academia and made it really less neutral, you know, and less about exploring things and discovering things, and more about, you know, how can we make money for this corporation. It's a very different world there than it was 20 or 30 years ago. And it's got a lot of professors upset because they think that academia should be open to explore all kinds of things. And now, in many ways, it's really closed down to what that particular corporate funder is willing to fund.
Right. If your conclusions are laid out before you start your research,
And some of these things, if the professors find out something that the corporation, you know, didn't want them, you know, they didn't get the right answer, they just shut down that research.
Right.
I mean, they won't even let them talk about it.
Right. And that's a very real loss of a job and income and
exactly.
A very real threat to that person's livelihood.
That's right.
Yeah, wow. Unbelievable. Quite amazing. Another thing, I don't know if we have time to get too deeply into this, but you mentioned something, a scientist fears something called green deserts.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing of genetic engineering is you're really manipulating things on the level of DNA, and it's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
When they started genetic engineering 20 years ago, people thought that one gene created one trait, and now we know, for a lot of different reasons, that a gene can create many different traits depending on the environment that it's in and what is affecting it. And so we don't know that this stuff won't go out there like alfalfa,
right,
and cross with other grasses and somehow mutate and change in a way that it creates, you know, a complete,
right,
a desert, you know, where nothing can...
Thanks so much for being with us. I'm sorry I got to cut you off, but I'm coming up on a break. Deborah Coons-Garcia, The Future of... back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. The phone lines are wide open, folks. It's caller-driven from here on out. The next 2 hours, what's on your mind? Any topic is on the table. I will field any caller on any issue. You don't need to tell Ian what you want to talk about. Anything's on the table. Name and city. That's all we require here. Throw your television away. That's the Chili Peppers recommending that. You know, Oberman's been off the air for about an hour, so there's really nothing. Unless you're interested in more on Anna Nicole Smith, there's really not much else on the TV these days. Hey, we got someone who's been holding for a long time, and I hate to leave somebody hanging on the line forever, but I got Robert in San Francisco. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that there's going to be a conference in Chandler, Arizona, 23rd to 25th.
That's right.
9/11 Accountability Conference, and it's about accountability strategies and solutions. There's a lot of issues in the last 5 years that have been really come into focus. The PNAC people, it's like the Skull and Bones. You know, in September 2000, they hoisted this document online where they wanted a catastrophe to occur in the United States.
A new Pearl Harbor, I believe they referred to it as.
Yeah, you betcha. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, a lot of these Washington insiders came up with this. And you'll find that the Taliban cut down the drug supply, the illicit drug supply. And then as soon as we go in there, the illicit drug supply is double what it was before they cut it back.
Right.
And it's like on the Federal Reserve note, it says, "In God We Trust." Mm-hmm. Well, that's a private corporation. It's almost like their little funny game. God really stands for guns, oil, and drugs. That paradigm that we're living under, I mean, You know, the pharmaceutical petrochemical cartel, the sorcerers that give us all these different drugs, there's been scientists 75 years ago that discovered that all cancers have in common four things: a low oxygen content in the cell, a low enzyme content in the cell, a low electrical potential between the cell membranes, and an acid pH. Therefore, two Nobel Prizes Otto Warburg got. Therefore, it shows that if you remediate those conditions, all cancers will be alleviated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that doesn't fit with the paradigm, the pharmaceutical petrochemical cartel's paradigm. And you're talking to Deborah Coons Garcia. My dad was a petrochemical purveyor. He sprayed DDT and all this stuff on crops.
Wow.
Well, you see, that kind of, and he bought from a company called Green Cross, if you can imagine, you know, like crucifying the environment.
Wow.
In the ancient teachings, it was recommended to let the land lay fallow for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're finding that mycelium, mushrooms, fungus, actually break down and decompose things like rock and dead organic material into soil. The land needs time to rest to rebuild itself.
Right, right.
And we have to take a longer view. We have to stop sucking the fossil water out of the soil. People are worried about fossil oil being disappearing. When we lose fossil water, we are screwed.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. People need to open their eyes and start thinking about vegetarianism. I mean, spirulina is 70% protein, a natural aquatic plant. Mm-hmm. The Aztecs, the Africans, the Incas used it. 70% protein, almost identical amino acid ratio to human flesh, 90% digestible, and reproduces itself 40 times in volume in 48 hours, and it has four times the chlorophyll of alfalfa. It's the mirror image of human blood.
Wow.
Hemp grows to maturity in 10 weeks. It's 50% fat, like 20% protein, 30% vitamin E. It's food, fiber, fuel, and medicine. Why is it illegal? Because it competes with the petrochemical pharmaceutical cartel and the monopolies that the ruling elites have gotten in our society.
Right. Well, at the time it was made illegal, it had a lot to do with the lumber industry was very big on that because it made paper and it was, like you said, 13-week turnaround. So you can have four crops a year and if you have the right climate, as opposed to a tree, which takes, decades to become mature. And so obviously, they were a big part of getting hemp illegal.
Hemp lasts for 500 years. Yeah. I mean, the paper. It's low acid. I mean, it's such a wonderful thing. The polymers conduct electricity. Yeah. Henry Ford wanted to grow a car right out of the ground.
Wow.
You see, back then, 70% of the people lived on the land. It could have been a huge boom to our rural people. We could still be living those kind of numbers, at least 50% on the land. Instead, mm-hmm. Just certain people that have these petrochemical oil monopolies, right. You stand to make money from it. And if you look back, to President Kennedy's, what happened with President Kennedy, I mean, basically the same guys, big oil, industrial military complex people, remember I said their god is guns, oil, and drugs? They are the same people that are at odds with constitutional government.
Right.
Of the people, by the people, for the people, liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Robert, you're going to be in Chandler at the end of the month?
Well, our people are going to be down there. I'd like to show up. I just want to mention again that the 9/11
Accountability Conference. Yeah, I'm actually going to be the MC for that event.
Accountability Strategies and Solutions. Like I said, we've got the goods on this story. The problem is just understanding Operation Northwoods, which is what we believe 9/11 is. Right. What about the future? The technologies that are in place, they want like coal and nuclear in this.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't what most people want. It doesn't reflect most people in this country's values. And we can be running electric cars powered by wind power or running on batteries. They have a Tesla car now with a 250-mile range, performs like a Ferrari.
Oh, there's a company right here in Arizona, right just up the road in Prescott, Arizona, that makes a solar-powered cars.
Okay.
And so, there's lots of technologies out there, but they seem to get squashed by, again, the big money
Tucker,
and interest. Yeah.
Like the Tucker car. I mean,
right.
The thing people
YouTube,
need to wake up is they can create their own future.
Right.
Just get out there just get out there and do what needs to be done. I mean, Tesla himself was put on a pension and his inventions, his laboratory was sent to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Right.
This guy made inventions that made obsolete the business interests of his financial backers. He wanted to transmit electricity wirelessly. They wanted to develop their minds and sell wire to people and make more money. He developed wireless radio transmission. He let Marconi take 11 of his patents and play with them. I mean, he developed AC power. He developed a transmission turbine that generates 10 horsepower per pound of motor at 95%+ efficiency.
Wow.
I mean, all these inventions, people are trying to go around the world to the patent offices and dig up what Tesla was up to, because that is real freedom and real liberty when we have control of our environment. When we produce electricity in our own home, you know, for ourselves.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, off the grid. Hey, Robert, thanks a lot for your call, and
right.
Really good talking to you tonight, brother. Let's go to Tim in San Diego. We lost him earlier. Tim, you back?
Yes, I am.
Hey, sorry about the confusion earlier.
How you doing? That's all right. You've got some great callers there for a great show.
Thank you.
And I wish you continued success. Dang, you know, the guy started talking about hemp and everything and DDT. I just thought, you know, it's 37 years ago when I started college, and I scared myself into being a vegetarian. I did a talk on DDT, and the guy that invented it, he got the Nobel Prize for, I think it was chemistry or something. But a lot of that stuff is right on. If someone wants to dig it up, I'm sure if they went to Wikipedia.org, they'd find all the history that I wish I would have had when I did my little college study 37 years ago. But I called primarily to talk about this Representative Tom Ryan in Ohio.
Yeah.
Why was he so soft on the Republicans? He could have hit them with so more hard facts that the American people need to be reminded of, that the surge, the splurge, whatever you want to call it, that also doesn't, there's no allocation to for housing for our troops.
Right,
there's no allocation for an exit strategy. There's no allocation for a guarantee of not being used as a pawn to ensure another $36 billion net profit for companies like Exxon. There's no guarantee that their profits won't go to prop up un-American, and that's factual, un-American companies like Halliburton.
Well,
it's an offshore company. It pays no taxes.
The whole surge thing is just a moving of the goalpost. Last November, the American people voted to stop the war. You know, not whether or not we should increase it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just the administration moving the goalpost, and now the debate is whether or not to increase it. And that's, you know, it's just basically just changing the whole frame of the debate. And they've succeeded at it. Essentially, they've succeeded.
And the war is very successful for these big companies.
That's
it's tremendously successful.
Yeah.
But their motives, I can appreciate it. They've shown their true colors before.
Profit.
You know, in the Vietnam War, where we said, hey, you know, quid pro quo, we like the idea of ending it, but let's hold off for 18 more months or whatever the deal was.
Hey, if you haven't seen it yet, check out Eugene Jarecki's Why We Fight. It's a great documentary. Starts with Eisenhower's speech on the rise of the industrial military complex and just kind of traces the whole deal, why
good.
We are where we are today. Check it out. It's a great film. Hey, Tim, thanks a lot for your call, buddy. Thanks for getting back on. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show right here on 1480 KPHX. That's only in Phoenix. It's on the Nova M Radio Network. It's the phone lines are open. Any topic is on the table. It's caller-driven radio from here out. As a point of disclosure, we had some people calling into the back room. Deborah Coons Garcia was, in fact, married to Jerry Garcia. I didn't necessarily want to talk about that on the air because I wanted to talk about the focus on her work, not her husband, since I had such a short time with her. But, that was her. Anyway, I'm Jeff Farias filling in for Mike Malloy. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Like hell against raising the minimum wage.
We are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480. Couple of phone lines still available. You want to jump on board? Any topics on the table, folks. It's caller-driven radio from here on out. Get to your phone calls. Just one quick second. I just want to point out this one little bit. Frank Gaffney. Any folks familiar with him? He's one of these neocon strategists, they call them, when they put him on TV, neocon hack. Put an article in the Washington Times where he attributed a quote to Abraham Lincoln. A quote that apparently Lincoln never said. And this is a tactic of the right-wing noise machine. They put out some false information on one of their little satellite papers, like the Washington Times, or out on Drudge, or Insight, I guess, is part of the Washington Times, the Mooney paper. And then it kind of gets picked up and repeated on Fox News. And, well, this one made it all the way to the House, the United States House of Representatives. This is Representative Dan Young of Alaska quoting Frank Gaffney's lie about Abraham Lincoln.
I've listened to this debate on both sides of the aisle for the last 2 days, third day, in fact, and probably listen to it tomorrow. I rise in opposition to H.R. 63, and I like to make a quote. Congressmen who willfully take actions during wartime that damage morale and undermine the military are saboteurs and should be arrested, exiled, or hanged. Abraham Lincoln, who had the same problem this president had with a very unpopular war. The same problem with people trying to redirect the commander-in-chief. The same problem if they'd been successful. We have not had the freedom of the people in this country.
You know, I think if I hear George Bush compared to Lincoln one more time, my head's going to explode. I honestly do. Lincoln? My God. Bush, this man is probably the worst president. Definitely in our lifetime. Most likely in our history as a country. You may be able to make an argument for Garfield, I guess Harding. He was pretty bad. Grant had some serious corruption problems, but Bush is he has all of them. He has the corruption. He has the personal stupidity. Anyway, this is a little clip, taking the whole Bush Lincoln comparison a step further. Here we go.
Are there in actuality any similarities historically between Bush and Lincoln?
There are some, John. Both men presided over civil wars, one ours and historically inevitable, one someone else's and ridiculously evitable. Both men suspended the writ of habeas corpus, although Lincoln did mention it publicly. And, of course, both weren't afraid of the grand gesture. Perhaps their similar speaking styles will jog your memory.
Lincoln is perhaps the greatest orator in American history.
Correct. With a style that was pure George W. Listen to this rare wax cylinder recording from 1858.
A house divided cannot. If you divide a house, you gotta. You can't stand in a divided house.
You can't stand in a divided house. Yeah, that pretty much sums up George W. Bush, you know, comparing him to Lincoln. Over the course of this week, we've heard him compared to FDR, to Washington. Davy Crockett pulled up. I'm going to play the Davy Crockett clip probably in a little bit, too. We don't have enough time to. I didn't take any calls or something because I knew just had a short break. I wanted to work those clips in. When we get back, I got a full board of callers. We're going to just go right through phone calls from here on out, folks. Who do we got coming up? We got Scott, Lucia, Bob, Reverend Bill, Alan, not necessarily in that order, but we'll get you all back. I pretty much take them in the order they come in, so I'm trying to keep wait time as little as possible, folks. Looking forward to talking to you. That's what talk radio is all about. Give me a call. I'd like to hear what's on your mind tonight. Be right back after these important messages.
On the tick, I look at me, I am the same, but I don't notice. And I have learned that everybody has a price tag on his head. Though it's money that will make the monkey dance. Yes, it's money that will make the monkey dance. Hey!
are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480. Just one phone line available right now if you want to hop on board. Any topic is on the table. I got a few things I could talk about. But for now, let's get right back to the phones. First up is Reverend Bill. Reverend Bill, welcome to the program. Reverend Bill, you there? Oh, I guess not. Who's up next? Let's go to Scott in Glendale. Scott, welcome to the program. Scott, are you there?
Oh, hello. This is Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, that was very appropriate to what I was going to say. You were talking about comparison of quotations between Lincoln and Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there were a sound clip, but such a sound clip may not exist, of a statement that Bush made when he was governor of Texas during the Kosovo incursion under Clinton. I don't know if he ever said it out loud, but I've seen it in print. And, you know, that he said, well, the president owes the nation an exit strategy because an exit strategy is equivalent to a victory.
Hmm.
Now, that guy in Congress, somebody should have read that quotation back to him by George Bush about exit strategies. If we could find that, at least read it now and then on the radio, or put it into one of those buzz flashes.
Yeah. Well, I guess John Stewart did a great piece a couple of years ago, and it was a debate between President Bush and Governor Bush about essentially about nation building and all the things he ran on in 99 and 2000, particularly in relating to Kosovo and Somalia and all that stuff about nation building and how we had to how we should proceed. And then once he sort of got in the office, completely a 180, a complete turnaround in terms of what the proper role was for the American military. So
yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable stuff.
Okay. Well, anyway, next weekend's the 9/11 conference out in Chandler, so that should be fun.
I'll be there.
Okay. Well, I'll probably see you there.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Take care. Let's try. Looks like we got Reverend Bill back on. Let's try that one. Reverend Bill.
Yes, sir. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just wondered where Mr. Malloy is.
He's
is
on
that
the
problem there or something? Every
no.
time I call in, he's the no-show.
It's just my luck, Reverend Bill. No, he's on vacation this week. He started last Friday, and he's been on vacation all through this week.
Oh, I understand. Not sick, huh?
No, he's got a little break with his family.
Well, now, this lady that you had on earlier,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what, I forget what her name was.
Her name was Deborah Coons Garcia.
I had a question for her, but I'll ask it of you.
Sure.
And maybe you can answer it for me. I'm 67 years old. I weigh 190 pounds. Most of it is lean muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of a jelly roll there at the waist, but that's to be expected, someone my age. The doctor tells me it's no problem. I get a clean bill of health every 6 months. No problems. I had very few sick days in my life. One time I had a 24-hour virus. The last I remember, that was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I can barely remember that.
So you're a very healthy man. You take care of yourself.
Yes, I go down to the supermarket, and I just kind of pick off the shelves whatever I tickles my fancy, and mm-hmm. I eat my steak every couple steaks a week, with my baked potato and sour cream mm-hmm. and my salad. And I just want to say that if it was up to, there's some of you hand-wringing weenie greenies there, we would not even have enough food on this planet, because these companies like Monsanto are developing technologies which increases the yield, which will the crops, which will feed the population.
Well, we have plenty of food. I think a lot of the problem with it, with starvation, is distribution. We don't have a way to get it to the people who need it. There's no shortage of food on the planet. In fact, tons of food gets wasted every year.
Well, that is because companies like Monsanto know how to produce food.
Well,
and if it wasn't for them, then there would be more starvation than there is right now.
Well, how do you feel about cloned food? Do you want to eat cloned meat?
I don't see anything wrong with it.
You don't? You don't see any potential dangers?
No, I'm not given over to worrying about things like that, because I think God gave us the ability to develop these technologies. And if he didn't intend us to have it, then we wouldn't develop it.
I think that's an excellent point. So you're in favor of stem cell research then?
Well, I mean, under certain circumstances, yes.
Okay.
See, I'm not.
I'm glad we agree on that. No, I think
it's morally wrong. I think it's morally mm-hmm. wrong, but let the people who do it do it, and then they will deal with the consequences in Judgment Day. So I'm not telling people not to do those things. I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, I'm very liberal in a certain sense. I'm very tolerant.
Well, that's a good thing, Reverend Bill.
And I just want to say that, you know, all this Bush bashing I've heard tonight, you know, all this, the rats want to jump ship when the going gets a little tough.
We're seeing that in the Republican Party.
Well, okay. I'm not saying all Republicans are good, that's for sure.
Right,
and I think that the wheat is being separated from the chaff. And this is a long haul we have over there in this fight against terrorism. And we're going to stay the course. Us of us who are not sunshine patriots are going to stay the course until that land over there is basically under freedom and democracy.
Well, I don't know if we're necessarily going to be able to pull that off. You know, I was hoping to talk to somebody who's from the conservative side of the aisle tonight, because I had a question. I've been looking at, you know, we're hearing a lot about the 08 presidential race, and I found it really curious that the three front runners for the Republican Party are Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and John McCain. Now, in Romney, you have a Massachusetts governor who's been in favor of a woman's right to choose, who's in favor of you know, the rights for gay marriage. Same thing with Giuliani, you know, pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, actually anti-gun. And then you get John McCain, who, you know, who knows what John McCain believes anymore. It seems to change on a daily basis. Is the Republican Party moving to the left?
Well, I don't know if they're moving to the left. If they are, well, it's not the Republican Party that I grew up with and I have learned to cherish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a real conservative Republican. And if these guys want to swing with every wind that blows, then that's their choice. And I'm not turning left. I'm staying the course to the right. And
well,
I think
doesn't
that's
look like
the future for this country.
Well, I don't think the Republicans are giving you anybody to vote for. If you are, if you do hold to your conservative values, it seems like the party is. And again, I'm concerned that, you know, what does the party really stand for? It seems like they just stand for winning, and not really much else. In George Bush, you don't have much of a conservative there. He spends money, as McCain says, like a drunken sailor.
Well, he's doing it in the defense of this country.
I think he could defend this country from here. We were never attacked by the Iraqis.
If
but
we don't
over
fight
there.
Him over there, we will be fighting them here.
Well,
I know that
what's
sounds like
what's stopping him? Well, it is a cliche. What's stopping him from coming over here now?
Because they're fighting us over there.
All of them?
We're fighting them.
You don't think they have any
of them tied up there in the Middle East, so they're not going to come up through Mexico and also this border and stuff like that. There's not enough of them. The only ones that are going to come over here are the ones that don't really want to fight.
Well, you only need, as we found out, you know, they only had 19 of them the last time they attacked us over here. It wouldn't take that many. If they really wanted to attack us over here, it would seem it doesn't matter where we're fighting them. They'd get over here.
Well, they're biding their time, see. They're going to, they know when to strike.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using their technology just like we are. So we have to be on constant vigilance against these
I agree. I just wish more of our brave soldiers were here on this soil protecting us rather than stirring up trouble over there.
Well, we're not. See, now there you go. You say we're stirring up trouble. We're always over there keeping them at bay in the Middle East and keeping them where they belong, keeping them tied up there in their homeland.
Well, couldn't we be here and keep them over there? Wouldn't that make sense? Whatever we're doing to keep them out of here, just do that from here. Doesn't seem
how
like
would
we
you
need
do
to be,
that, my good man? How would you do that?
The same way we're doing it now. You know, they keep bragging
you're
about it.
You're going to guard all of the ports? And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I don't think that that's possible. I think that we have to be over there fighting them over there so they won't come over here.
Well, I think the more we make of them, the harder it is to fight them. And,
the
and
best be, defense
being over
is
there,
a good offense.
Well, being over there kicking in their doors is making more of them, Reverend Bill.
The best offense is defense is a good offense.
Well, yeah, if you're playing football, but not if you're holding guns. Hey, Reverend Bill, good talking to you tonight.
You take care.
You too, buddy. Let's go to Lucia in Phoenix. Lucia, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. I was going into a trance there. Well, Reverend Bill was certainly calm tonight, wasn't he?
You know, I think I have a calming influence on him. when I'm on this side of the glass, when I'm over there, we tend to go at it a little harder. But
well, you know, I think the overall issue is creating good karma. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about the food issue right now because I've been in touch with this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that movie. It was really good, Future Foods. I got it over at Whole Foods, and I made everybody watch it that I could. I wasn't listening all the time during the interview, but did she say something about the Terminator seeds?
Yeah, she did talk a little bit mm-hmm. about that. Yeah, yeah.
And also down in Mexico, they said that the Mexican people have, like, thousands of different kinds of varieties of corn that they grow in within little climate regions.
Mm-hmm.
and they save it. So then they started saving some of this seed that they were buying from the United States, and right. that's causing them a lot of problems.
Right, and it's killing a lot of the insects and things like that
yeah.
that were part of the system. It's changing the whole dynamic
and
of the
also,
system.
And also, I think that could have driven up tortilla costs.
Right, right.
You know?
Yep.
And so one of the law of unintended consequences is that a lot of these seeds that fight the insects, I think that's causing a lot of bee deaths. Like a lot of these seeds that they've raised are killing butterflies
right,
and
right.
other pollinating insects.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some of the genes, as you said, if they tamper with a gene, it doesn't just handle one thing.
Right, right.
Like in when they were raising chickens, I read this in a book by Temple Grandin. They're raising chickens to have, you know, very fat breasts, but mm-hmm. then their legs weren't strong enough to hold them up.
Right, right.
So then they had to breed them to have stronger legs. So they altered a gene there, but it was causing the roosters to be so vicious that
right.
they weren't doing their rooster dance and being nice to the hens,
mm-hmm.
and they were attacking the hens and killing them.
Right. Well, there's also all kinds of problems with the way that turkeys are genetically engineered,
yeah.
too. They say that the turkeys are so, the way they're engineered, they're actually so demented mentally that they'll look up at the rain and drown themselves because it fills up their breathing passages. They just don't even know to come inside out of the rain. You know?
There's a good web page for native seeds
mm-hmm.
called nativeseeds.org.
Oh, cool.
If the guy who has the garden wants to look that up.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lucia.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Take care. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias. I realize I didn't say my name enough. I got a bunch of emails from people to the station saying, whoever that guy was last Friday, tell him blah, 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 you know. So I'm going to put my name out there. It's Jeff Farias. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network, 1-800-989-1480. Give us a call.
Casting out my sweet life.
Some of y'all never been down south too much. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this so that you understand what I'm talking about. Down there we have a plant that grows out in the woods and the fields. Looks something like a turnip green. Everybody calls it poke salad. Poke salad. Used to know a girl lived down there and she'd go out in the evenings and pick her mess of it. Carry it home and cook it for supper. Cause that's about all they had to eat. They did all right. Now down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, there lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look tame. Poke salad, Annie.
We are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480. We had a full board, but we lost a couple on the break. We'll take all your calls in the order I get them. Interviewed Deborah Coons Garcia earlier in the program and put up on my website. It's called thetruthtopowerhour.com. A whole list of resources if you'd like to learn more about genetically engineered food and what it's doing to you and to our environment and to the ecosystem and to the economy of small farmers and the ability to find a clean, fresh-grown food that hasn't been touched by Monsanto or one of the big chemical companies. Let's get back to the phones right away, though. First up is Rich in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. Rich, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing good tonight.
Jeff, I got to tell you right up front, you're a very tolerant man. Reverend Bill would last exactly 30 seconds with Mike Malloy. Okay? And Reverend Bill, I hope you're listening.
Well, I've been talking to Reverend Bill for about 3 years now. So
yeah,
he's here in Phoenix. He calls us locally all the time. So.
Yeah, he would get a cold slap in the face of reality with Mike Malloy, let me tell you. First of all, Reverend Bill, if you're listening, not everybody in the world believes in God the way you do. Some don't believe in God. And some people's God is not the God you aspire to in your biblical understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was raised a Christian man myself, And I don't see anywhere in the Gospels of Jesus Christ where Jesus Christ ever advocated war under any circumstances.
Right.
Turn Jesus the other had nothing cheek. To say about prostitution, except that he shielded a prostitute, Mary Magdalene, from being stoned by people.
Mm-hmm.
He never had nothing to say about abortion. He never had nothing to say about homosexuality. So, in deference to the good Reverend Bill, I do not believe that Jesus Christ ever meant for us or anybody to go start preemptive wars anywhere in the world and claim it's God's will. And I'm just so tired of these people, especially the Republicans, or as Anthony Weiner from New York likes to say, the Republic Party now,
yep.
which is what I'm going with.
That's what I've been going with, too.
Okay? I really like what you had Congressman Ryan saying before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how I'm listening to how we have to take, I'm one of these Democrats that's fired up, won't take it no more, like Congressman Ryan now.
Yep.
I'm tired of being called a traitor. I'm tired of us being called traitors because we believe that America can be better than it's been acting.
Right, because we believe in the Constitution. Right.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, this country was not founded on the Bible.
Right.
It was founded on the Articles of Confederation of the Iroquois Nation. That's where our founding fathers
mm-hmm.
got the principles that later became the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Now, I myself am a practicing Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and in Reverend Bill's book, that would make me a heathen pagan. Okay? But it's the oldest known religion to mankind, the ancient Earth religions. We respected Mother Earth. And anybody tries to tell me that making war anywhere respects Mother Earth is a fraud and a fool. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
God, the God and the Goddess did not intend for us to desecrate and destroy this beautiful planet we live on. And I'm just tired of these people.
Well,
I really am.
Well,
so, Reverend Bill,
I
hope
you
get religion, and you know, I hope you really understand the true message of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Not mine.
Thanks a lot, Richard. I have some Wiccan friends here in Phoenix as well, and any people that worship the earth and recognize the beauty of it. And again, if you want to find God, just look around you. You know what I mean? You don't have to go find him in a church. You don't have to listen to a preacher. Our founders were deists, as I consider myself to be as well. I believe in a higher power. I believe in a God. I don't think I need a preacher to tell me what's on his mind.
Well, Jim, what I can say to you is blessed be to you.
Blessed be, my friend.
Take care.
Let's keep the phones moving along. Next up is Larry in Black Canyon City. Larry, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Usually I'm down in Phoenix, but I'm in Black Canyon.
Oh, hey, Larry. How you doing, buddy?
Okay. I heard you talking this morning. I haven't heard your show tonight because I can't get it up here, but I heard you talking this morning. There were some people talking about that super highway.
The NAU stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And one guy was on there saying that was just a bunch of myth
mm-hmm.
and that it was nothing to worry about, just like the other way. But it's a real serious thing. It's extremely serious. It's just like everything else that the Bush people are trying to do. They're just trying to take away the natural resources.
Right.
And when it comes to the superhighway, they really just want to pull the road right out from under people here.
Mm-hmm.
Where they want us isolated and locked down where we can't move around
right,
without paying
right.
a lot of money. It's all going to be toll roads, and they want to sell off the rest of the roads for toll roads, too.
Yeah. Hey, there's a great resource for all of you out there who want to learn more about the North American Union, channelingreality.com. It's run by a woman named Vicky up in Idaho City, who's a caller to this program from time to time. So do check that out. Learn more about it, folks. From what I hear, they're already building the roads. Larry, I got to go.
Thank
I got
you.
A hard break here, buddy. I'll see you real soon. You're listening to Mike Malloy. I'm Jeff Arias. We'll be right back after these messages.
I was mighty fine being alone. I figured I'd always be. Now I find I'm in decline. The capital D. This old dog's about a poison puff, and a whimper's all I can do. It's a far cry from the long sigh made when I met you. Got a hitch in my get up, shimmy in my strut, short circuit.
listed in my ticker. Raw streak on my hide. The doc says the cause ain't a common cold, and he says he don't think it's a flu. But I don't need an expert to tell me that it's you.
Hey, we're back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number, although the phone lines are full, so don't bother calling yet. When you hear someone drop off, then it's your turn. Any topics around the table? We've been talking a little bit about food, engineering, all that kind of good stuff. Hey, just got a notice from my buddy Sarge. I'm about to post it up on my website, truthtopowerhour.com, just like it's spelled. Spelled just like it sounds. He's trying to get a recall going on Haley Barbour. I don't know if any of you have heard Leonard Clark from here in Arizona, working real hard to try and get a recall petition together to get John McCain removed from office here in Arizona, or at least cause him some considerable embarrassment. Along those lines, McCain has decided to blow off the Iraq vote in the Senate tomorrow, so he's going to go to Iowa and campaign to be president, because obviously the Iraq war isn't that big a concern to him. He's not going to hang around and vote tomorrow. That's no surprise, I guess. But Sarge just sent me a really impassioned letter, and he's got it up at unreportednews.net. I'm going to post it over on my site here just in a second or two. But yeah, you know, he's just about had it over there with Haley Barbour and the mess that he's leaving those people in. And I can't blame the man. It's just inexcusable. Anyway, that is posted right now on truthtopowerhour.com, so go check out Sarge's letter and do what you can to help his petition. Let's get back to the phones. I got a full board of callers. I want to hear what's on your mind tonight. First up is Jamie over there in Connecticut. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to call because you had said something about Mitt Romney being pro-choice and pro-gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Me too.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Okay. I've been living in New York City the past 4 years, so I didn't actually get to vote in that election, but he's not pro-gay marriage.
Well, no, I heard him on tape just this last week, tapes of him saying that he defends, he believes in equal rights for all people. When he was running against Ted Kennedy, he was for gay marriage. And he would do everything he could to protect the rights of those folks. And when it first went through, he was in favor of it. And then when he started getting national ambitions to run for president toward the end of it, that's when he kind of changed his tune, because he realized he needed to go after the right.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, when he was governor, that he was against the whole gay marriage, and that he wasn't even pro-choice either.
Right.
You know, I mean, being, you know, that he was a Mormon and everything.
Well,
and I just wanted to bring that up. But the other issue that I really wanted to bring up was this whole week with Iran and this scare, you know, how they are instilling fear in the American people.
Yeah, or trying to anyway.
Trying to. But what the media does not talk about is Saudi Arabia or Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a teacher in New York City. And it's just interesting, as a history teacher, I work with people that actually believe that we should go and invade Iran and, get rid of this leader. And so I just, you know, when I heard that the guy that you had on about talking about...
Fight him over there, so we have to fight him here, and, yeah.
You know, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Come on. I mean, I live in New York City. There's sleeper cells all over there.
Right, right.
And I just think, you know, I mean, we're lucky that we have, you know, an Air America, or, you know, I have this serious now that, you know, you learn a lot. You learn, you know, the truth.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard Larry Kennedy out there? Larry Kennedy's a former CIA guy. He was on Oberman last night. I think Randy had him on this afternoon. He's out there talking about this. You know, he's saying pretty much about 80% of the American casualties over there are attributed to the Sunnis, who are supplied by the Saudis, who are supplied by us. So essentially,
exactly.
Our own weapons are killing our soldiers.
It.
Right, right. Yeah.
But nobody, you know, I said it to one of my, you know, coworkers, and he said, oh, well, how do you know that's true? And I said, well, you know, they're mentioning it on the BBC radio. Why aren't we mentioning it?
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, that's not really true. We know Iran. And yet we don't really know Iran. We know that they have a bad president who, mm-hmm. you know, they look at as like how we look at as President Bush as an idiot.
Right. Yeah, well, again, and that president was elected because of the saber rattling from the Bush administration. The Iranians were in Afghanistan fighting alongside of us to stop the Taliban. On September 12th, 2001, they were marching in the streets of Tehran, waving American flags and chanting pro-American slogans. So the people of Iran have a very favorable opinion of the United States, but we got this George Bush guy in there who went out and declared them an axis of evil and started threatening them. So they elected a hardliner because they were afraid, just like our people are afraid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just wish that we could, you know, as a teacher, it's almost my duty to get out there and make sure that, as you know, as Americans, that these, you know, that people know the truth.
Right.
That, you know, that all these other Middle Eastern countries are, you know, funding these militia groups in Iraq, and we, you know, and people don't seem to get that out there.
Right. Well, I want to give you some advice. Don't become a teacher in Arizona. Right now, the Arizona legislature is putting up a bill that would limit teachers' ability to free speech in the schools. They're not allowed to express any opinions or take any sides in any issue. So you couldn't, if you lived in Arizona, you couldn't tell your students about what we just talked about the Sunnis being the one responsible for killing our soldiers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can do it in New York City, but we're being treated like robots now. Whatever. I mean, I'm going back to Massachusetts. But, I just wanted to bring up Mitt Romney. I mean, that's, you know, because...
Right.
You know,
well, he's definitely to the left of most of the party. I mean, he's trying. Actually, Ted Kennedy said it great. He said, I heard him on, he was saying, you know, Romney, well, once he was pro-choice, then he's anti-choice. He's the multiple-choice candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I just personally, for me as a Democrat, I need a Democrat out there that's going to actually get out there and be tough.
Right,
I don't feel as if they're really doing that right now. They're not out there. And, you know, I mean, the American people voted for them in November, and we need action.
Yep. Well, again, it's a slow process, and it does get frustrating, but I think they made a big step today, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Senate tomorrow. Senate's supposed to vote to support the House bill condemning the surge. So, and again, that's the first step, and I think the next step for the House is to start to look at the appropriations, look at the money, look at Murtha has a plan to basically block the president in so he can't send any troops who aren't fully armored, fully trained, fully rested. So that's gonna do quite a bit to limit him. So they're trying to be strategic about this. I share your frustration. I'd like to see them moving a lot quicker and a lot more harshly against the president. But I think realistically, they got to do this one step at a time. Hey, whereabouts in Massachusetts you from?
I'm from Framingham originally.
All right. I know. Well, I'm from down by they call it the South Coast now, Dartmouth, New Bedford, that area. So.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
it's a great state.
It sure is. It sure is. Hey, thanks a lot for your call, Jamie.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Let's go to Ron down in Miami. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hi.
How you doing?
How are
tonight?
You this evening?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm very good. Thank you. It's cold down here in Miami tonight. It's going to go down to 40-something tonight here.
Oh, my goodness. That is chilly, even for Arizona.
Right. Well, I just wanted to comment on a few things that I've heard. I kind of discovered your station last night.
Oh.
I've been out of the country for a long time, over 30 years in South America. And the first thing is that outside of this country, people have a totally different perspective on the news and on what America is. For example, I was in Brazil for many years. I have yet to speak to a single Brazilian who supports President Bush and his policies. And I'm not a Democrat. I mean, like I say, I've been out of American politics for my entire adult life.
Mm-hmm.
But they just think it's absolutely absurd what's going on here, that the war is ridiculous, it's immoral, it's illegal, it's a lie. And they can't understand. And we're not talking about people with bones in their noses. We're talking about intelligent people who have money like a lot of Brazilians do. And they just have a totally different perspective of the world. If you look at Brazilian news, the news stations on TV, they will show every day scenes of the destruction, of the carnage in Iraq. They won't keep it from the people, but I'm shocked to see night after night American newscasts where the most important news is the sports news or
Nicole Smith,
you know,
or some,
poor Anna Nicole. I feel sorry for her, poor girl, but you would hardly think that this country is at war.
Right. Well, that was
so
the less,
obvious.
That was the lesson the Pentagon took from Vietnam. Keep the image of the war away from the American people. They don't even let us see the coffins coming back to Dover Air Force Base. We don't even allow them that. We don't even honor the dead in that way because they're so
That's right.
afraid to let the American people know what was really happening over there.
That's right.
That's a sad
again,
thing.
And for President Bush to, I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, say he wants to find out where the arms come from that somebody's using.
Yeah.
He's the largest arms dealer in the world.
Yeah, and the biggest threat
so
to the world,
please. Please, you know, we weren't born yesterday, but unfortunately, most of the American people act like they were.
Right. Well, we are the people of the short attention span and the bright, shiny object in the corner. Hey, Ron, thanks a lot for your phone call tonight. You stay warm there in Miami. It seems odd saying that. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight on the NOM Radio Network. A couple of phone lines opened up at 1-800-989-1480. We got Julie in Sacramento, Jeff in Phoenix, and Barbara in Cave Creek. When we get back, hope to take more of your phone calls as well. Talk to you on the other side. This is, folks, a rich man's war. And them rich men are getting richer and richer by the day. Billions of dollars disappearing. Vanishing into thin air. For the reconstruction, what's been reconstructed over there? Nothing. Paul Bremer, winner of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, distributing, 363 tons of money? Barrelfuls, wheelbarrowfuls of money going out of his office with no accounting. No one knows where it went. Fraud, abuse, war profiteering, the likes of which we have never seen. I hope Henry Waxman gets on this stuff. I really do. I hope he gets these investigations going. I hope he goes public. I hope everybody sees this for what it really is. Murder for profit. Let's get back to the phones. First up is Barbara in Cave Creek. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi. Okay. Overman yesterday had Larry Johnson on.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that's the guy he was talking about, lies and intelligence, and he was the one. And it's 92% of our injuries are being caused by...
92%, right. Okay.
I mean, which is, like, outrageous.
Yeah.
And that we're backing this Al-Hakim guy, and he's a complete, you know... terrorist. Anyway, it's worth it to go to his site. It's under Lies and Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the countdown site, and you can watch the video, and you might want to download some of the sound bites from there.
Yeah, actually, I have the clip of Johnson from Overman last night. If you want to hear it,
Johnson from Overman.
Yeah.
Well, I've already heard it, but you might want to play it.
No, we'll just talk about it. Yeah, because Randy had him on today, too, and we sort of like digging.
So you said Kennedy. I don't know who you were talking with. Larry Johnson.
No. Oh, did I say Larry Kennedy?
Yeah, you said something about Kennedy.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
I've been at this too long. My God. No, yeah, Larry Johnson, former CIA. I said Larry Kennedy. I'm trying to think.
That's okay. But there was also something that's going on locally, which is, I mean, it's now coming up. It's about a friend of mine who, I sent you this. It's from the East Bay Express, and I sent you a link to it about
mm-hmm.
Soldiers of Misfortune.
Right.
And he was a contractor who was injured, and the company, who was a Kellogg Brown and Root subsidiary, didn't have the proper insurance or workman's comp for him, and he was in a terrible car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was in the process of busting Kellogg Brown and Root. Anyway, it's a long article about what he knew and what he was about to expose. And 4 days after the East Bay Express, which was, I guess, out of San Francisco, put this out, he was arrested in his home and put in jail in Surprise.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's in jail for improperly calling 911 and using firearms, but he doesn't remember the 3 days that this occurred. He has no recollection of what happened. And he's sitting, I think, in the 4th Street Jail. I'm trying to get a hold of attorneys. This was in October, and I've known him for a long time. But he was injured. I mean, he couldn't walk. He couldn't. He was in a wheelchair with two broken legs, two broken arms, his head, his neck, you name it.
Right.
And they flew him out of Kuwait. He was working in Iraq and Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
And very right-wing for a long time, trying to do his best for the war.
Right, right.
And at the same time, was in charge of trying to keep the money straight with these acquisitions. That's what he was hired to do, to save money. And he discovered the billions that were being siphoned off.
And that's why he's in jail.
Started to report it, and then he got in a car accident. And then they dropped him at Sky Harbor Airport and just left him there.
Unbelievable.
And I think we need to get together and figure out what's going on with this story. And I'm going to send it to Henry Waxman.
Yeah, well, I'd like to do more on it, Barbara. Make sure I get all that stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll talk soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show right here on Novam Radio. To those who knew.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
And I'm also a veteran, Vietnam-era veteran.
All right.
And I worked at Walter Reed, saw the injuries that were sustained, especially from stepping on landmines, where, you know, all the soft body tissue is destroyed.
Right.
So, and that's what's happening to a lot of our Iraq, vets that are coming back.
Right.
And it is so sad because we just had Valentine's Day where, you know, love is so 100% of it, and there's some of our vets that will never, ever be able to make love again.
Yeah.
And that has been so depressing to me because I worked with some of them at Walter Reed, and most of them were, they just wanted to commit suicide because they had lost everything. And I was able to talk one in just one out of the many that I spoke to was only just one. And he did take my advice and have his girlfriend come out and make a decision whether she wanted to marry him or not. And I got a letter from him about 2 years later saying he was actually able to walk, and he was so proud of his little butt that had been built up because he had lost that. And he said, thank you for, because one of the things that he would tell me was, as soon as I get up and walk around, I'll, get a gun and I'll, just find a little place for myself in the park.
Oh,
and he was actually walking and with a cane, and he had gotten married. He was going to be adopting. He was on the list for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But our vets are, they're recycling our vets.
Right. And the injuries, people are surviving a lot more serious injuries than they ever did. I mean, there's been so many advances in medicine, and particularly sort of in the field medicine for these soldiers that are wounded, where in previous wars they wouldn't have made it. Now they're coming back with no legs, no arms, half their faces blown off, all kind of just unspeakable injuries.
That's what I saw at Walter Reed.
And forced to, and left to survive that way. And God, it's just what a horror show.
I think the other horrible one is the napalm.
Yeah,
I had one patient, and I. Every once in a while, when I can still hear his screams that echo because napalm cannot be, as long as it's exposed to air, it burns and it can't be taken off.
Wow.
But I think I better hang up. And thanks a million for taking my call.
Thanks for talking to me today, Julie. Okay. I know it's hard for you to remember these things.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. Vietnam era. We're talking 40 years ago, and it still makes her cry to remember it. In 2007, and today, this week, George Bush is creating so many more heartaches, so many more emotional, physical scars that our people are going to have to live with forever. And not even the people who are over there serving, but everyone whose life they touch. She still hears the screams from 40 years ago. That's what war is. This is what George Bush has brought to us. And for what? And why? Let's go to Jeff in Phoenix. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, like Reverend Bill, I just can't believe that there are actually people like himself out there that actually think that they are religious, that they are practicing the Word of God, the Bible, that they actually believe that if there's a heaven, that they will be going to it. This guy, I mean, is obviously a demon.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be a devil. And by the way, I've been counting, because Mike always speaks about the lurkers and the freaks.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I counted four lurkers, and the Reverend Bill made one freak, because he is a freak who his whole thing is death.
Right.
And destruction. And as old as he is, as old as he sounds, you would think that he would try and educate himself to what's going on. I mean, there's so much information out there that he can do cross references of what he believes and the lies that Bush has told him, the facts that have surfaced. And this devil still wants to believe some stupidness about, we got to fight them over there, so we'll be fighting them over here.
Mm.
You know, that guy who was talking about the Bible, who said in the Bible where it doesn't say anything about war, and the Bible is right, it doesn't. But you know, the kind of weird thing, because the Bible is left to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got the Republicans who are talking about some sort of research and a blasphemy of whether it is a life or not. You know, talking about it as a human being, even though it's just a cell.
Right.
Well, according to the Bible, if religion is the thing, according to the Bible, it said God formed man from the dirt, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It is the same breath of life when a baby is born, when the doctor slaps it behind, that he takes when it becomes human. And that's when God says, "For behold, you are one of us." That's when so all this stuff about stem cells being human and all that stuff, they're not.
Right.
They're not until they take the breath of life. And then you were talking about Arizona trying to limit some things for free speech.
Yeah, they're trying to stop teachers from expressing any political opinions in schools.
Well, they've done surveys of 100 cities for water quality from 1 to 100. Arizona ranks number 100 in water quality.
Right.
That's
I
a
saw
fact.
That. I saw that. Yeah.
They, you look at education, Arizona from 1 to 50, Arizona is number 50th in education.
Yep.
Now, these people, I've moved here, been here about 2 years, and I have never met so many people who are out to lunch, and they think that they're smart. So if for them to be wanting to limit something, even in the universities now, I mean, they already got problems as it is. You have a lot of people still in this state who cannot use rational or critical thinking because they're not taught that.
Right. And unfortunately, many of them get elected to our legislature. So.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You have all the facts that have come out about this administration, and you still have a large percentage of fools in this state that can't put it together and realize that this man has lied us into a war where people, young Americans and Iraqis, have been losing their lives, and it has nothing to do with our safety. He has made it increasingly unsafe for America, because that country had nothing to do with 9/11. And all the information and the facts that are coming out points to the fact that this government, in some way, is linked with those planes hitting the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that Saudi Arabia is definitely behind it. And that the weapons that all of a sudden these choppers are being shot down out of the sky, they're being shot down with surface-to-air missiles that we provided to the source, because
right.
We taught the Saudi military over there, because the people in Saudi Arabia want to kill the royal family.
Right.
Because it's
not even that direct. I mean, in many cases, I was hearing Larry Johnson today saying a lot of the we're giving weapons directly to the Sunnis in Iraq,
right.
Who are then taking them, handing them to their militias, who are turning around and attacking our people. Americans are being killed with American bullets and American weapons.
Right, and these people need to remember that the Iraqis waited patiently for one whole year. There was no suicide bombings. There was no IEDs, none of that stuff. They waited patiently 1 year almost 1 year for us to restore electricity and power to at least pre-Saddam levels, where at least they had running water, electricity, food. You know, they waited 1 year before all of a sudden these bombings started, which I tend to believe is black ops operation done by the United States to create a war between them, because it's easier to steal when you have two sides opposing each other.
Right. Chaos pays. Hey, Jeff, I got to go to a break. I got a hard break coming up. Thanks for your call today. Thanks for your point of view. Chaos sells. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's a lot of money. It's a lot easier to steal, as Jeff pointed out, when there's chaos all around. Hey, we'll be right back. One more segment on the Mike Malloy Show for you. I'm Jeff Farias. No callers waiting, so maybe I'll just play some clips. Maybe I'll just monologize. We'll see.
Some sunny day, keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
We are back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. And made a decision. I've been grappling with an issue all day here. And speaking to Julie in Sacramento made me sort of come to terms with my decision. I came into possession of a CD, a PowerPoint presentation that is given to medical personnel before they deploy to Iraq. Sort of a primer as to some of the things you might expect to see, just to sort of help them deal with the shock of it. And it is unspeakably disturbing to see. And I've been wrestling with whether or not I was going to post it or put it out there to share it, because, you know, right after I saw it, I wished I hadn't. But speaking to Julie has convinced me that I am going to post it. I'm going to work with our web guy, Billy, over the weekend, probably by Monday. I'll have a link to it on thetruthtopowerhour.com. I'm going to put it out there and see what happens. Let's go back to the phones. I got time for a couple of phone calls. First up is Blake, back in my old home of Indiana. Blake, welcome to the program.
Hey, am I on the air?
You are on the air, sir.
Okay, sorry. I was just wanting to comment. I don't know how you feel about this or not, but it seems like our foreign policy with Russia and our foreign policy with Saudi Arabia is broken down.
Right.
Because, I mean, nobody's really commenting on the fact that Putin has armed Iran with, you know, military supplies and defensive capabilities that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. And no one's talking about the fact that Russia, China, and India are now engaging in talks. Basically, the focus of the talks is how to deal with the American threat. The repercussions of what the Bushes have been doing are going to haunt this country for years.
I almost feel like saying, God bless Russia, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if a war really did happen between us and Iran, it would be a really bad situation.
World War III. Only far worse than unspeakable horrors, far worse than anything we could imagine from any of the previous world conflicts. Absolutely, it's a doomsday scenario, and this clown, chuckle nut, as Mr. Malloy likes to refer to him as, it just seems hell bent on disaster. It is a scary time to be alive. Hey Blake, I'm going to kind of cut you a little bit short, because I'm going to try and get one more call. I got to put going
okay.
to people holding.
Later.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Let's go to Howard in Tennessee. Howard.
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Oh, just cruising down the road tonight.
You know, the first trucker I got tonight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I usually get a bunch of them on the Sirius.
I hear you. I wanted to comment on a couple things. One, you can't be too hard on Reverend Bill. You know, he believes in in what he believes in.
I wasn't too hard on him.
Well,
a lot of other people are, and I get emails from people saying I wasn't hard enough on him. I've been talking to Reverend Bill for 3 years. He doesn't really rile me up all that much anymore, and we actually, you know, we tend to agree on some things every now and then. I try and find some common ground, and so I don't mind him all that much, you know.
I mean, you know, like, I'm not a Bible thumper or nothing. You know, I've read through the Bible, and there's a lot of places in the Bible that talks about God being on the side of one or another of them when they go to war.
Right.
You know, and as far as homosexuality, that's in the Bible. That's what, I don't know, what was it, Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever it was there. You know, that was what that was all about, you know. So, you know, people say, oh, there's no mention of this and there's no mention of that in the Bible. Maybe not in the New Testament, where Jesus actually saying anything about it, but there is mention of these things in
the Bible. In Leviticus refers to it specifically, but he also says you can't eat selfish and it's okay to sell your daughter.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah, a lot of things in there.
A lot of stuff's kind of
but I wanted to comment one thing I heard a little while ago now, but it was about Abraham Lincoln. But, you know, I read some things on different things, articles that they came up on people like in his administration and whatever like that, that said he was an absolute psychopath. You know.
The
man was nuts. Yep. You know, and I guess in those regards, Bush has a lot in common with Lincoln. You know, because I read things of, like, I don't know if it was the vice president, some different people in his cabinet and different things like that.
Well, he did one smart thing. He surrounded himself with political enemies, basically.
Yeah, you know,
because he wanted the smartest people he can find, whether or not they agreed with him or not. You know, so.
So I guess in ways he does have things in common with Bush.
Yeah.
Well, except Bush has in common with him.
Right. Well, he likes to surround himself with yes men, from what I can get, except for Cheney. Anyway, so I heard somebody say a brilliant thing. Said, you know, the real genius of Dick Cheney is that he lets George Bush wake up every morning thinking he's the president.
Thinking he's the boss. Huh?
Yeah. Hey, Howard. Good talking to you, buddy. I got to get out of here.
All right, man. Hey, yeah. Have a good one, man. Enjoy
your
show.
Hey, I had a real thrill being here. Thanks to Ian. Everything you heard came through his fingers. Thanks to everybody here at the station and on the Nova M Radio Network. Sorry, Charles, I couldn't get to you. I'm Jeff Farias. I'll be back again sometime soon. Check me out tomorrow, 2 o'clock.